Father, we're so grateful. It's such an honor and a privilege to be able to come before your presence, to gather together in freedom, to come and share your word. Like your word says that Mary chose that good part. She said she sat at his feet and listened to his word. We sit now at the feet of Jesus by the power of your Holy Spirit through us as we speak your word to partake of this good part that will not be taken away from us. And consequently, I come to pray that you will anoint me afresh so I will speak indeed as I should as an oracle of God. And I also pray that you'll put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are here physically and those who will hear me remotely electronically, so that this word, your word, will flow freely, Father, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great and insufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mention in that prayer in their individual lives, all agree with me individually and said, amen. We continue our study in God's word in the book of Romans. In our last lesson, we were looking at Romans chapter 15, and we're looking at verses 15 through 24, somewhere in there. I don't even think we got up to verse 24. But I think we got up to verse 21. And here in this portion of scripture, Paul was telling us that, you know, God used him to go to the Gentiles. In particular, he said, make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. And that he'd been around the area of Asia Minor, you know, Illyricum. And he said he went to... He deliberately didn't go and preach where other people had gone. He went to virgin territory so that he was not building on another man's foundation. Verse 21 says, but as it is written, to him he was not spoken of, they shall see, and that they have not heard, they shall understand. And I brought out this fact by the grace of the God and the help of the Holy Spirit that Paul was uniquely suited for this assignment God had given him by virtue of his birth, his background, and his education. You know, so he was better suited to reach out to the Gentiles than was Peter and John, who were Jews. Paul too was Jewish, but Paul was not born in Judea. He was born in Tarsus. He was born as a Roman citizen. So his worldview, the way he saw people, was a little bit different from the normal traditional Jew who was born in Judea or Galilee, like Peter and John and James and some of the others. However, I brought out this fact, and this is a very important fact, that as you grow in Christ and you become more and more like Jesus, you become better and better suited to do everything that God wants you to be able to do. Initially, God will use you in the area that your natural talents and your natural birth and education and all of that will enable you to do best in. But you're not restricted to that and shouldn't be. Because as you grow spiritually, then and you begin to have the ability of the mind of Christ, you begin to become more like Jesus, you become more suited to even do things that are beyond you. And you see this evolution, the word evolution just means change, growth. You know, in the lives of all the apostles, I gave the example of John. John was a fisherman. You know, when he started, he was just, and him and Peter and James, Jesus gave them a mandate to go to the Gentiles, but they didn't. They didn't do it for about 10 years. Church history tells us that the house of Cornelius did not happen until about 10 years after Jesus had been raised from the day of Pentecost. You know, I'm not 100% sure of that figure, but it was some significant amount of time. And, you know, Paul, too, got born again, you know, some years after the day of Pentecost, because Paul was a zealous Pharisee. And he felt that these people were doing the wrong thing. And he persecuted them and put them, you know, arrested them, took them to jail and all of that. And that was what he was planning to do on the way to Damascus when God appeared to him in a vision, the Lord Jesus, you know, and literally knocked him off his high horse, so to speak, you know, and said, "I am Jesus whom you're persecuting." And Paul changed, you know. And then God said, "I've called you to go to the Gentiles." But it wasn't Gentiles alone. Of course, Paul also reached out to Jews. What I'm saying is this. Every one of us has some natural dispositions that we get by our natural birth, our natural education and location. And you start there. However, you must not be so spiritually myopic or short-sighted to stay there. You find that John, you know, by the end of John's life, John was the apostle to all the churches. All those Gentile churches that Paul started, you know, Ephesus, Pergamos, Laodicea, all of them, they all came under John's jurisdiction because Paul had died, Peter had died. So that's why he wrote the letter and said, you know, to the elder, you know, talking to one lady, was a Gentile woman, you know, First John, Second John, you know, and Third John were written, you know, to Gentiles. Gaius was a Gentile who initially was a disciple of Paul, but he now became a disciple of John. What I am saying is that we should grow. You know, if there's anything I'm screaming to the church, if I can use that expression, is growth. I've said this many times over the years in recent times that the emphasis of this present Pentecostal charismatic Word of Faith Church has not been growth. It has been blessings. People come to church primarily for some blessing, some physical or material blessing, or they have a problem, they want God to heal them, they want God to deliver them, they want to, you know, have a wife or have a husband, get a new car, get a new job, and all of that. And that's not wrong. Don't misunderstand me. Yes, God does that. He supplies. But the sad commentary of this experience is that people now make that the goal of their Christianity. And then they completely growth is taken off the agenda, so to speak, and doing so completely shortchanges us of God's purpose and plan for our destiny. You know, when we're not told that, you know, we're supposed to grow into the fullness of Christ, and then there's no proper teaching in that direction, no motivation to do that, you know, no direction, no instruction, then people, of course, don't grow, you know. And it's very sad, but it is true. Now, what happened to Israel, the same history is repeating itself. You know, there's a saying in the world, but it's true because it's verified by Scripture, that those that do not learn from history make the same mistakes. If you don't, that's why God gave us the Bible, so that we can learn from history. He said these things that happened to them, he said they happened to them, you know, they are examples unto us that we should not, don't make the same mistakes, you know, fall into the same things that they fell in. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He said, but rather we should learn from them. You know what happened to Israel? The great majority, and it's sad, Pastor G, it's happening again. 3 million people, approximately, came out of Egypt. The men alone were about 600,000. That is those who are, say, about 20 years old and above. The others were little, were children, and then you had the women. So when you do the statistics, you know, you get about 3 million. You know, if you multiply 3, you get 1.8, you know, because, you know, if all the men had wives, then that's another 600,000. And then, you know, maybe each person had about 3 or 4 children. You know, anyway, that's how they come out about that figure. Amazingly and unbelievably, only 2 of that 600,000 men and their wives, so of that 2 million or 3 million, apart from the children, you know, who are 20 years old and down, only 2 entered the promised land. The rest of them died in the wilderness, roaming around that wilderness for 40 years because of their unbelief. Fast forward to today. If you look at the number of born-again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christians on the earth that got born again and all of that, you know, as we're entering this perfection and fullness of Christ, this fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles, and incidentally, today is the last, about one of the last days of the Feast of Tabernacles. Today is 26, so, you know, it's a significant day spiritually. Anyway, so you find that there's just a few of us. The percentages are frightening. 2 out of 2 million. That's a very, very tiny fraction. It's almost zero. If you do the mathematics, 2 million is 10^6. So 2/2 million is 1/1. It means, you know, the fraction is 1/1 million. So it's 0.00000000001%. It means about, you know, that's 7 zeros. It's almost zero. And sadly, the same thing is happening. Now, those people who died in the wilderness, they didn't go to hell. They went to heaven. But like Paul said in another place, he said, they suffered loss. Even though they were saved, you know, they suffered loss. And God doesn't want that for us. But that will happen, God forbid, if you don't have a purpose, and you do not know that the purpose of your Christian life is to be conformed to the image of Jesus, and you do not prioritize growth, and you prioritize blessings, you just be like those people in the wilderness, just be going around in circles. You know, when I first got born again, you know, in my first year as a Christian, by the grace and the mercy of God, I came into a significant amount of revelation knowledge, and I came to understand what my purpose was. I even wrote an article when I was in Imperial College called Christ in You, the Hope of Glory. It's on our website. You know, and I look at that thing today, I said, man, I wrote this 41 years ago, and it's still as relevant today as it was when I wrote it, you know, by the grace and the mercy of God. You know, I yet not I, but the Spirit, the grace of God which is with me. Now, when I look at that time, you know, by the time I was 1 year, almost 2 years as a Christian, and I came to Nigeria and all of that, I saw this thing, I'm telling you now. Even though I didn't know as much Bible as I know now, you know, I saw we were going around in circles. You know, by the time you go to a fellowship 3, 4, 5 times, you hear them, you know, they're saying the same thing. And there seems to be no direction and focus. So I got disillusioned, not with God, you know, so I switched off in a lot of places. I just stopped, you know, because I felt it was a waste of time. I gained more staying at home and praying and reading my Bible than I did by going to many places. Not because I was proud or arrogant, you know, even though I did have a little bit of that and God had to correct me in my attitude, you know, in some of that area. But fundamentally, I saw this problem, that it was just going around in circles. In fact, one of the things that God used to motivate and direct me to start Scripture Pasture because of this problem. I remember discussing with my friend, Larry Neko, and some of the other brethren, Fred and all of that. I said, look, brethren, people are confused. We're wasting time. They would invite me, for example, to come to go to IVCU, that's University of Ibadan Christian Union. You know, back in those days, I used to go maybe like once in 6 months. They would invite me to come and teach and preach. You know, I would teach exciting things from EW Kenyon, Revelation Knowledge. Everybody would get, the whole house would get excited. You know, I remember teaching one time on the integrity of God's Word. That was 1983, you know. That message, up till today, people would come and say, ah, Pastor, I was in that message, you know. Now, then I go, then next week they bring somebody else. And that guy now says the exact opposite of everything I said. So after a while, the saints got confused. And they were just going around in circles. And that was when we decided, me and some of my friends, said, look, let's do our own church. Where we'll teach the word of God consistently, systematically. You know, we'll use the revelation that we've got. And so that the people can grow. So it was a problem. And it's still a problem because so many people are still making blessing the goal. Blessings are not your goal. I'm going to upset your theology further. Heaven is not even your goal. Heaven is a gift. The thief on the cross went to heaven. That's why it is recorded. And the man didn't do anything. The last thing he did was armed robbery. And because he said so. He was telling the other thief. There were two of them on the other side of Jesus. You know, and he said to Jesus, he said, Lord, please remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. And the other guy said, if you are the Messiah, why don't you use your power and deliver yourself and us? And the other man said to him, don't you fear God. We are here because we did the wrong thing. But this man is innocent. They just put, you know, they just crucified him, you know, wrongly. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. The man said, I'm here because of... He had no chance to do anything, but he went to heaven. According to the Lord Jesus Christ, and certainly he did. Well, he didn't have any growth, you know. So, heaven is a gift. If the armed robber can go to heaven, you will go. So long as you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. But that's not your goal of a Christian life. The goal of a Christian life is to grow to the fullness of Christ. Watch this. And the degree to which you will be rewarded is the degree to which you grow. That's what's going to determine your reward. It's not all this, you know, your reward is not going to be determined by how many cars you have. It's not going to be determined how many visas you got. It's not going to be determined whether you got married or you didn't get married or how many children you had. It's not going to be determined by the amount of money in your bank account. All that will not count. What will count is the degree of the fruit of the Spirit that has been developed in your life and the degree to which you are like Jesus. At least Pastor Andrew is clapping. One person is appreciating what we're saying. Because it's the truth. So, the Apostle Paul, you know, he understood these things, you know, and the others too got to understand them later. They didn't understand it as well initially. But they understood it later, Peter, James, John, and all of that, all the other guys, you know, the 12 apostles and many of their disciples. And so we must not make the same mistake. And so we must understand that, yes, initially you'll be limited by your natural talents, your birth, your conditions, education, and all of that. But that's only at the beginning. Once you start growing in Christ, all those limitations come off. Are you listening to me? And then you can then fulfill the fullness of what God has in store for you. Which really, you know, is your destiny to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Once you do that, you will fulfill all your assignments. You see, your destiny and your assignments are interwoven, but they're not the same. Your destiny is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. As you grow to fulfill that destiny, you will be given assignments along the way and you'll be able to fulfill them. The reason why so many people do not fulfill their assignments or some of the assignments that have been assigned to them is because they are not growing. So because they don't grow, they don't have the wisdom and the strength and the ability to fulfill those assignments. So they stay where they are. They don't do all that God wants them to do. So let's correct that in our thinking and in our attitudes. Right. And so let's now read from verse 22. And so Paul said in verse 21, he said, I'm going to the Gentiles. I go to places, you know, and in our own day too, there are places God wants us to go to. There are places on the earth today that have never been penetrated by the gospel. Let me just use this to emphasize that. This opportunity, you know, this, because it comes from the scripture here. There are places here on the earth today where they are not, you know, the name of Jesus, the scriptures, the word of God has not been free. They have not, men have not been free to teach it. There are certain places where by law of those countries, it is illegal for you to go and teach and preach there to their people. The Islamic Republic of this, the Islamic Republic of that, and others, even in places like China, you know, there's no freedom. They don't believe in God. So both Christian and Muslim, anything that is of religion, they discourage it. Let me use that expression. You know, but all that is going to change by the manifestation of the glory of God. The Bible says, lift up your head, O ye gates, and ye everlasting doors, be lifted up, and the King of glory will come in. Now, it's not just any king, it's the King of glory. So you have to become a spiritual king carrying the glory of God, and those doors will open. Hallelujah! That's very exciting to me, you know. And so we just like Paul here, you know, we've been called to do this, where he's not been spoken of, you know, and they that they have not heard will understand. There are places, even in so-called Christian countries, like Nigeria, for example, which is, you know, a secular state. We're neither Christian or Muslim. We're just secular, and you're free to. We have freedom of religion, which the same thing America has, and which many countries have today. You know. Even in these places, there is a very limited understanding of God's word. Not talk less of the place where it's not even being preached at all. I remember many years ago, maybe about 20 or 30 years ago, I used to go regularly. I stopped it after a while because God said I should stop it for some time and, you know, do what I'm doing now, which is growth. And then when the glory comes, I'll go back. Praise the Lord. And we're on our way back. Praise the Lord. I used to go to many of the countries in West Africa. I used to go to Togo. I went to Cameroon. I went to Ivory Coast when my friend was there. The level of the word of God was so low. Things in Nigeria that we took for granted, like, you know, baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, it was still controversial in those places. They, in fact, in a lot of places, they weren't even practicing those things. You know, when I remember going to, I think it was Togo, you know, and Ivory Coast, you know, when I went to preach and teach there, you know, the people's level of understanding was so low spiritually compared to what we had in Nigeria, you know, and people wouldn't just, there's something you just say, just flies over their heads. So we had to try and now bring it down for them to understand, you know, people are still struggling with basics like the new birth and baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we're now trying to teach prophetic, you know, so we had to stop all that and just stay with the basic. Then we did Christ Life School of Ministry and tried to bring some of them here, teach them those things so that they could take it back to teach their people. And some of that worked, some of it didn't work so well, you know, not because of what was taught, but because of the people. But the point is this, God, the point I want to make is this. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding me. I want to give you a clear understanding of the Great Commission. And all of us are called to fulfill that commission. It's not just David Livingstone or Mary Slessor or some preacher that will go to the ends of the earth. Every one of us is called. You need that mentality has to change. This is the commission. You find it in two places in Scripture. You find it in Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom must be preached unto all tribes. The word there, nations, is the Greek word ethnos, where we get the English word ethnic from. So, to all ethnos, to all ethnic groups. Like, for example, in Nigeria, for example, there are about 300 to 500 ethnic groups. I don't even know all of them, you know. And in places like China and Russia, different ethnic groups. England has four. You've got the English, you've got the Welsh, you've got the Scottish, and you've got the Irish. You know, when you think everybody's English, they're not. You see, and that's why I remember when the first time, Pastor G, it was 1979, my friend, a close friend of mine, his parents, his mother was white, his father was Nigerian, and, you know, he grew up here in Nigeria and with his mom, and then later on, his mom went to England for some time. So when we were in the prayer college, he said, oh, let's go and see my grandparents. So we now took the train from London and went all the way up north to Newcastle. You know, I'd never been that up north, far north before in England. I couldn't understand what they were saying. They were speaking English, but it was with such a strong accent. It was difficult for me to make out what they were saying. And you go to places like Cardiff, which is in Wales, they have their own language. It's totally different from English. The Scottish. I had a Scottish prophet. I'm sure I've told you about him before. Dennis Beattie, who came, prayed for me when Pastor Potter was praying for me and prophesied about my ministry. You know, you can hardly hear what he's saying. He's Scottish. And when they speak their Scottish language, you have no clue. The Irish, too, have their own language. It's not English. Now, these are ethnos. They're different ethnic groups. So, we are being mandated. He said, to whom they have not heard, they shall see. To whom it was not spoken of, they shall see. And they that have not heard shall understand. This is the commission. It's not just for Paul. It's for all of us. We are to take this gospel. And I like the way Jesus said it. He said, this gospel. He was being very specific. This gospel of the kingdom. See, the gospel is not just the gospel. The kingdom there means the dominion of God. I preached this many, many years ago in the late 90s as we entered into the third day. Remember, Pastor G, as soon as I was preaching everywhere I was going, you know, I kept preaching kingdom, 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 kingdom. And I brought it from a different perspective. It's not, you know, the traditional understanding of kingdom in the church was heaven. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the word kingdom comes from two words, king and dominion. He's talking about the dominion of the king. So where the gospel of the kingdom is the gospel means good news. It is the good news that tells you about the dominion of God over spirit, soul, body. So it includes healing, deliverance, prosperity, and all of that, and ultimately perfection. Where the God has total dominion over your spirit, soul, and body, so that you demonstrate the glory of God like Jesus did. That is the gospel of the kingdom. That is the gospel Jesus was teaching. It was not just, you know, the new birth is a very small part of it, a part of it, essential, foundational, don't misunderstand me, but it certainly does not include everything Jesus was talking about. And we go around teaching that, oh, once the people get born again, you've given them the kingdom. No! Paul said, you know, through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom. Kingdom is not just being born again. It's being born again is just the beginning. Now, it is this gospel of the kingdom that we are to preach to all ethnos. So, you know, we haven't even started the job. It's true. How many places do they have people preach the gospel? Even Nigeria here, you know, we have Hausa, Fulani, we have Igbo, you know, we have the Efiks, we have the guys from the Niger Delta, you know, you have the Wari people. They're different from the people from Ishan. They're different from the people from Isoko, you know. And each of those ones, we have to preach the gospel of the kingdom to them. But that's not the end of the commission. The second scripture that helps you to understand our commission is in Matthew chapter 28. And Jesus said, let's read it. We'll come back here to Romans 15 in a minute. Matthew 28 is the last chapter and the last few verses. I think it's from 18 to 20. Aha, this is what, you know, the traditional evangelicals use as the Great Commission. It's correct, but many times it's said in a way that is incomplete. And that's why God has given, by the grace and His grace and mercy, some of us revelation knowledge. The word revelation knowledge is epignosis, which means complete, exact. See, when you take things in bits and pieces, you don't get the complete picture. And that's what I, by the grace of God, I want to give you now. Go ye therefore. Now, let's start from verse 18. Oh, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power. Turn to verse, say, all power, not some power. This again is talking about perfection. He's talking about the spirit without measure. All power. See, we have to grow. Because what he's about to tell you has to be done with all power. If you go with some power, it's not going to get done. And that's why it has not been done till today. All power. Everybody say, all power. Is given unto me in heaven only. So the power is not just going to be power, it's going to be heaven. It's here, through you and I. All power, let's start again, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. What is the therefore? What is the therefore for? Because you say, I cannot go to all the earth if I don't have all power. The same thing he said in Zechariah, after the glory. The same thing. Go ye therefore, because I have all power, and I've given you all power, and teach all ethnos. That's that ethnos again, nations. This that he said in Matthew 24, where he says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all nations. All ethnos, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe some of the things. You see, we haven't started. And whatsoever I've commanded you, let's just summarize that, teaching them to perfect the love of God. Because all the commandment is briefly comprehended in this saying, love. So what he's telling us here is that we should go to all nations and teach people in each of those nations how to perfect the love of God and grow into the fullness of Christ. This is the commission. All things, not some things, whatsoever I commanded you, and so I am with you till the end of the age. So let's put the two together and you get this. God have mercy and help me. What is the commission? What are we all called to do? It is this. Number one, to grow into the fullness of Christ so we can inherit the Spirit without measure, all power, both as inheritance and borrowed anointing, because we have to work as a team. I like what mommy brought out on Wednesday when I was teaching. Every part does its share. See, this thing cannot be done by one man. It cannot be done by one church. Scripture Pastor will do its part. Redeemed will do its part. Winners will do its part. Every part does its share. There is no one church. Anglicans will do their part. The Catholics will do their part. The Methodists will do their part. Nobody. I like what Papa Ral said many years ago. God is too big to put in a box. Whenever you try and keep God in your denomination, you just step out. You know why? I am God. Your denomination is not big enough. Scripture Pastor is not big enough to contain God. The Methodists are not big enough to contain God. The Anglicans are not big enough to... He's God, for heaven's sake. Let's give him a clap offering, somebody. He's too big. He cannot be contained. Heavens, even the heavens cannot contain him. Talk less of your denomination. Great as Paul Yonge Cho was, and I honor his memory like I did last week and all of that, and he had a church of 1 million members, he can't contain God. It's too big. So each of us has to do his share, our share rather. Now, this is the commission. All of us should, sadly, many don't. Sadly, more even sadly, the Holy Ghost just whispered to me, not only that many don't, many won't. Because of man's free will. Just like God wants everybody to be saved, but not everybody is saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But that's not what happens in practice. Same thing with this commission thing. You know, sadly many don't, and sadly many won't. But it's not the will of God. The will of God is for all to do it. Now, what God wants is that for us to grow into the fullness of Christ so that we can get this all power. Then when we get it after the glory, we now take this all power and we now begin to go to all the ethnos in the earth. We do it in a progressive, systematic fashion as revealed in the book of Acts. And when the Holy Ghost come upon you, you shall be witness unto me first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, then to the uttermost parts of the earth. It's a pattern. What is the pattern? The pattern is this. All this is not in my notes. I didn't even know I was going to say all of this morning. You know, I was just summarize what we said last week, and Holy Ghost just stopped and said, that is your commission right there in Romans, where they have not heard. And said, explain it to them today. So what we're going to do is to take that all power. The first thing is to grow to get it. If you haven't grown to get it, you have not even started. And that's why we have the nonsense we have today. There are people without the power, then they go to places and then the devil just kills them. I said this years ago. I was criticized, ridiculed, misunderstood, but I stood my ground because I knew it was the truth. When Jesus was growing, between the age of, we can say 0 to 30, but let's even say from 12 to 30, when people die, were not people sick? Why didn't he go and heal them? Because he hadn't grown. He was growing. The Bible said he grew in wisdom and in stature. Why didn't God say, the need in the world is so terrible. People are, you know, your cousins in Jerusalem and in Judea. Oh yeah, Jesus, you are 15 years old now. At least you know some Bible. Oh yeah, go. It would have been a disaster. That's why we need the wisdom of God. So you say, Pastor Luby, what are you doing? Don't you believe in missions? Don't you believe in this? You don't believe in evangelism? Of course I do. But I know the pattern. Because I know the God's word by the grace and the mercy of God. So I knew, you know, that all this running around is going to come to nothing if you are not properly equipped with all power. With exactly what Jesus told us. All power. Go ye therefore. In other words, you go in that power. You know, when I look back now, even here in Nigeria, and I look at what has been done in the last, and I'm going to go back, you know, maybe we're looking at maybe 70 years. When, you know, people like Pa Elton came and all of that, you know, there was the Babalola, this revival in Elisha, you know, and great things. You know, God is such a good God. God, people were healed, they were delivered and all of that. And because God knew the harvest could be lost, he goes to get an Englishman from Shrewsbury in England by the Holy Ghost. They were having a meeting and a prophetic word came that Sidmon Granville Elton, go to Africa, go to Nigeria, to a city called Elisha. He didn't even know that there was a place called Elisha. He never heard it in his life. He came by the Holy Ghost. And right at that time, there was a revival going on in Elisha with Babalola and all those people. So Pa Elton now comes on the scene and thanks God for what they're doing. And then says, look, this thing must be properly organized. Well, the word organized may not be the best word. You know, it must be properly directed. Yes, you have the Holy Spirit, but you need to know the Bible. And if you again don't get to know the Bible, you can go off track. And that's exactly what happened. The man died at a young age, this Babalola guy. They used to use water, Omi Adura. Then they now thought that was a cure-all for everything. So any problem you have, they will now put water, you know, and say it worked for some time because God is a good God. But that's why God now sent S.G. Elton to come and teach them the Bible. And they shut the door in his face. I said, Feoibo. This is in one of the books, you know, one of the autobiographies. I think the second one was written by a young man who was, you know, used to come to this church. He's in Lagos now, you know, but he still has a relationship with me. You know, he wrote two books. One about our faith, you know, went back to Samuel Ajayi Crowther and, you know, the history of the faith, the gospel in Nigeria. Then he wrote his second book, you know, which is about the messenger, about Pa Elton's ministry. It's all documented. That harvest was lost. When I say lost, it doesn't mean the people didn't get born again and go to heaven. What I mean is that it never produced disciples. What is the commission? Not evangelism alone. Evangelism is the beginning, is the foundation, is essential. But then you must build disciples on top of evangelism. Then, for your job to be complete, I'm giving you epignosis of our calling. You must have disciples in every ethnos. We don't have that yet. Who have been taught all I have commanded you. Those disciples will have either the spirit without measure or a portion of it, the borrowed anointing, like Peter, James, and John, and the 12 apostles and the 70 had under the ministry of Jesus. Jesus and his disciples formed the prototype of what is supposed to be reproduced in every ethnos today. So today, we should have people who grow to the fullness of Christ like Jesus, who will now have disciples who they are teaching. And those disciples will partake of the borrowed anointing upon them. They will heal the sick. They will cleanse lepers. They will raise the dead. And they will cast out devils. Basic. There are other things, but let's just keep it simple like that. So they will now be a witness to their own ethnos. So you will have people who are Yoruba disciples who will have the borrowed anointing and the full anointing, then they will now go to all the different nooks and corners of Yoruba land and speak it in the language of the Yoruba people and demonstrate it. Then they become a witness. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached as a witness to all ethnos. You will have the same thing for the Igbo. You will have the same thing for the Hausa. You will have the same thing for the Fulani. And incidentally, Hausa and Fulani are not the same. For people who don't know, they're not the same at all. You will have the same for the Kanuri. They're different. You will have the same for the Efik, the Ibibio, the Wari people, you know, the people who from Ishan. If you know a little bit about Niger Delta, because I did a lot of work there with Brother Emiko, you know, the language changes every 5 kilometers in some places. I saw that in Cross River State. Ogoja, Obubra, you know, Akankpa. Or they are different language, Ugep. They are different languages. Each of those ethnos, we must have disciples inside that have minimum borrowed anointing. Minimum. That will be able to take all this all power and then take it to teach their people and demonstrate it. They will heal the sick. They will cleanse lepers. They will raise the dead. They will cast out devils. Then nobody will say they didn't hear. Because this gospel of the kingdom would have been preached to all nations. By their own people. In their own tongue. That's the commission. Now let's get back to you and I. I think this is what God wanted us to teach today. So what's my part? What's Olubi Johnson's part? What's Sarah Johnson's part? What's your part? Grow. Number one. Number two, inherit. Either full or borrowed. Then take that to make more disciples. Take your money. Take your education. Take your training. Your calling is not to be a doctor. Dr. Williams. Your calling is not to be an engineer. Brother Ndubisi. Sheyi Adeshola. That's not your calling. That's your profession. That's what you do to get money. That's what you do as a, for a living. But that's not your calling. Your calling is to be like Jesus. So you will not take that engineering. You will not take that medicine like Paul. Paul is the pattern. You will now take it and use the knowledge, the resources that come from that, you know, to see how you can go to certain places to go and make disciples. It may be you are going to go and do some work in Russia, or they give you a contract and you go to some place. You go there and then you do the work and then you make disciples. Each one of us is called to this assignment. So you use what you have in the natural at first. Your natural education, your natural money, your place of birth, and all of that. Then as you grow spiritually, and you get to the fullness of Christ, and you have more of the ability of the mind of Christ and all of that, you will outgrow your natural limitations. Then not only can you go to the Igbo or to the Yoruba or something, you can then go to the Welsh. You can then go to the Chinese. You can go to the Japanese because you now have the resources to be able to do it. Are you listening to me? But it first of all starts Jerusalem, Judea. It's progressive. Samaria. See, I can't go to China to go and raise the dead if I've not raised the dead in Ibadan. I just use that as an illustration. If in my immediate environment, I've not been able to do that thing, how am I going to take it? It's not possible. It's very quiet this morning. I'm not hearing amen. I'm not hearing hallelujah. But it's the truth. That's what Paul did. Started, he was, you know, in Tarsus. Then they were in this church in Antioch, you know, where they were first called Christians. Then him and Barnabas, they started teaching people. They started teaching people and they started growing. Then the Holy Ghost said, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then they now moved out of that place, you know, and went to some other places that were just not too far. They were not too far. The first missionary journey, they just went. And then as they went out, they went without power because they had inherited. Thank God, you see, in the first 100 years, everybody could tap from Jesus' anointing. So everything we see in the Acts of Apostles is a borrowed anointing from Jesus. Because they hadn't grown to the fullness of Christ, but they had grown enough to have revelation to be able to get that borrowed anointing that was still available, because Jesus had died at 33. But ordinarily, he could have lived to 140, 130. That's why you find the first 100 years, people could tap in and you see all the miracles that happened. And then you find that after 400 years, things just disappeared. Because by that time, people should have grown to the fullness of Christ and a new generation should have, but it didn't happen. The only person that came close to it was John. Satan killed all of those people. But God allowed them to write the revelation down to give us the New Testament. Give a Lord a clap offering. So that at the end of the age, there will be those of us who will be able to finish the job. And we are going to finish the job. We're going to finish the job. But let's know what we're about. And stop playing church. So a lot of the stuff people are doing, you know, is like Paul said, let me be nice. You know, when I was a child, I thought as a child. And I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish. Not to be insulting, and I'm not being insultive, I'm being honest and sincere. A lot of stuff that is going on is childish. Christianity is not just about having a nice house, driving a fine car. There's nothing wrong with having a nice house and driving a fine car, but that's not Christianity. All that, the nice house, the fine car, are tools to provide an enabling environment for you to grow. Not to indulge in the flesh. I got to close. By the grace and the mercy of God, we did one verse today, but it's been worth it. Now, God just stopped me. He said, you need to explain this assignment to them. By the grace and the mercy of God, my wife and I have been blessed materially and financially to some degree. We haven't seen anything yet, too. We haven't even begun to touch what God really has for us. But we have been to some degree, you understand? We live in a relatively nice house. Have nice cars. We have something. But you know, my wife and I, to the glory of God, we live a fasted life. All those things, I don't use. It's not what my life revolves around. I have too much. I have another vital assignment. Are you listening to me? My wife gets up 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the morning. You know, my wife, for many years, people who work for us don't understand. If you come to our house, we don't have breakfast. We don't have lunch. It's the truth. We don't have breakfast. We don't have time. We get up in the morning, then we do a lot of praying, you know. Then maybe we should go to school. You know, if I have something to do, I go out, you know, and all of that. you know, you don't find them in my house, you know, where they set the table, you know, breakfast. I'm growing. I didn't hear you. Yes, I have those things, but I use them as not abusing them. I'm painting a practical picture to you, and I'm doing it deliberately by the leading of the Holy Spirit to show you that, you see, God, all these things God gives us is supposed to create an environment whereby we can then leverage them to use for our spiritual growth, to inherit this all power with which we can now fulfill the assignment. Is it clear? And that's not for Olivia Johnson alone, it's for everybody. I didn't hear an amen. You can't say amen, say, oh me. Because it's so anyhow. Like Papa Hagen would say, I want to show you one scripture I'm going to close with. This. It's Psalm 105. I preached about from it years ago. Yes. Psalm 105, the last two verses. I'll look at it in King James and probably one of the other translations. And he gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people. Let me just share this with you. Last week I was talking about the Shemitah prosperity. You know what God promised the children of Israel? He said, I will take you, Deuteronomy 6, Deuteronomy chapter 7, and some of them. I'm not going to turn there because of time. Let me just summarize it. I will give you, you know, land. I will give you vineyards you did not plant. I will give you wells you did not dig. I will give you houses you did not build. If you will obey me, you will inherit all of these things. That's what he's talking about here. They inherited the labor of the people. But there was a reason. It's in verse 45. Everybody scream this verse. That they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. So that you will not be distracted building house. You will not be distracted planting vineyard. I've already given you all of that so you can be free to serve me. That is one of the reasons for prosperity. That is the main reason for good health. If you are sick, you can't pray. You can't pray effectually and fervently. If you're weak and you're sick, you can't fast. You have to do this and do that, take medication, do this. But if you are strong and healthy, and then if you're being distracted by running, you know, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lots of other things, it's going to distract. So the reason why God wants to bless us is to create an enabling environment so that we can keep his laws and his statutes, grow, inherit the spirit without measure, and then use that to fulfill our divine assignment. Stand to your feet. That's it. That's it. Paul understood this. Jesus understood this. I was sharing this with somebody recently. Everybody say, Jesus is the pattern son. But Paul is the pattern disciple. Let me show you a pattern. I got to understand this recently. I knew it over the years, but let me say clarity came. And what I'm about to tell you is a secret. It's not a secret because God wants all of us to know it. But because it's hidden, if you don't have revelation and understanding, you wouldn't understand what I'm, you know, you won't be able to appreciate what I'm saying. Every single one of us, Paul is the pattern, is called what to be conformed to the image of Jesus. That's our destiny. And then we will then use the spirit without measure that we inherit to fulfill our assignment, which is to make disciples in all ethnos. I can't go to every country in the world. I can't go to every tribe. But there is an allotted portion that I have that I will be able to go to. That I might be able to go to 100. I don't know. You know? But that's my own. Like mommy was sharing with us on Wednesday. Every part does its share. If I do my 100, mommy does her 50. You know, each person does. We, each of us, as we grow to the fullness of Christ, will be able to do it. By the time all of us do their part, we will cover the whole world. And Jesus will return. Now watch this pattern. Jesus lived a wonderful life and then died and went to heaven. Jesus did not write one book. He just preached. It was his disciples, John, Peter, and others that were around him, that now told us what he said and wrote it in what we call the four Gospels and later on in the epistles. Without those men, you have no contact with Jesus. Go and think about what I'm about to say very carefully. Without those men, you're lost. If not for those men, we would not know Jesus came. We would not even understand what he came to do. We will not be able to be a partakers of the divine nature. So, yes, Jesus is there, but you need a human disciple pattern. So this is the pattern. William, come. James, come. Pastor Boyega, come. Pastor Boyega, you be Jesus. You be Jesus. Pastor Boyega is Jesus. Pastor Williams is Paul. Then Pastor James here, Cowdy, is E.W. Kenyon. For our own generation, in every generation, God has this. Jesus passes the revelation of everything he did before he died and went to heaven. He gives it to Paul and Peter and James, you know, not Paul alone. You know, they write it down and give us the New Testament and the understanding of the Old Testament. Then in every generation, God has men that are born who, through prayer and the word of God, get what Paul got. Then they now give it to their own generation. Watch this. You can never get to where Jesus is without these links. You can go and sit down. Jesus, thank you. Paul, thank you. E.W. Kenyon, thank you. E.W. Kenyon gave it to Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin gave to Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland gave to Olubi Johnson. None of us can get anything direct. There are men that God has set. And you lose that. Watch this. You lose the link of your generation. You lose your destiny. There are those he has raised in your own generation. And they are the people that he sent to you. That's why they are called apostles. Apostolos messengers. The sent ones. They are sent with the revelation that Jesus brought to the earth. We cannot do. Say, I cannot do without the Bible. If E.W. Kenyon didn't follow Paul, he could never give us what he gave us. If Kenneth Hagin did not follow Paul via E.W. Kenyon, he would not get what we got. Then you want to behave as though you dropped from heaven. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. No wonder why Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He said, follow us as you have, or follow as you have us as a pattern. You can't get it yourself. Of course, you get it yourself, but you have to now follow the example of those men who got it. And that's why we have very few disciples on the earth today. I want to be like you. I want to be like you. Yeah, Jesus' pattern son. But you cannot become like Jesus without the pattern disciple or somebody who's followed him that you can now see and touch in your own generation through their books, through their teachings and all of that. That's how you now get what Paul did. Then you now get what Jesus did. Let's talk to God. Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, a shelter from the stormy blast,
a shelter from the stormy blast, and
throne.
Under the shadow
of thine
throne,
thy saints now dwell secure. Sufficient, hallelujah.
Sufficient is
thy armor. Let's sing that verse again. Under the shadow.
Under the
He's talking about covering.
Thy saints now
dwell secure.
Sufficient,
glory to God.
Sufficient is thy
Lord, and our defense is sure. Put one hand on your heart, raise your other hand to God. You know, these hymns were written by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Under the shadow of that, it was talking about covering. Shadow. Thy saints now dwell secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone. That's intercession. The arm of God, Isaiah 59, is talking about intercession in the spirit. Then our defense is sure. Raise that hand. Know who you are. Know what your destiny is. Know what your assignment is. Don't waste years of your life. Your assignment is not your profession. It's not getting a good job, getting many contracts. All that is to create an enabling environment for you to fulfill your destiny and your assignment. God wanted me to lay down this morning. And I thank God for his mercy and grace, helping me to do it to some degree. Raise that hand. Say, Lord, have mercy on us. So receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, your life and your power in sufficient measure. Father, I thank you for your word that you brought to me this morning, making it clear to me that you have called me, like you called Paul, to be conformed to your image. And as I grow in this and inherit and partake of the spirit without measure, without all power, I can now go to the nations of the earth, the ethnic groups and tribes, and make disciples in every nation that will now become a witness to their own nation, fulfilling your word that says this gospel of the kingdom must be preached and demonstrated unto all ethnos, all ethnic groups, before you can return. Oh God, help me to understand better this purpose. And then leverage. Use everything you've given me. The health, the wealth, the education, the knowledge, the understanding, everything you've given me to fulfill my destiny and my purpose and my assignment in this life, in Jesus' name. Father, mercy, Father. Rama shalikikoko fredea. Father, thank you. Selepriketolo motolo mto fredengar. Lord Jesus, thank you. Sapretolo motolo mengar to fredesk. Lord Holy Spirit, thank you. Nia shakato fred. Lord prekadara. Thank you for your blood. Shalikikoko fredengar toske fred. For your life. Jelegara to fredek. For your power. Nengredolosk. Leprika ratoske frede. Lopri rondoske fredik. Liketolo moshala ratol. Libre dalast. Zelikato, ranon tus kofre, lombre de los, tolom tu fridega, tolom tu frides, tolomoshokokro, tolom tu frides, tu fridingask, tolomoshofridek. In Jesus' name. If you're here, or you're watching, and you need healing for your body, God wants us healed. Because it's when we are healed and we're strong, we can pray and do these things so that we can grow. If you're sick, you'll not be able to fulfill the fullness of what God has in store. That's why by His stripes you were healed. That's why He put, God is not stupid, folks. That's why He put healing and prosperity into the covenant. We have three things we have in Jesus. He saved us from sin. He saved us from sickness. He saved us from poverty so that we will have the right environment to grow. That we might keep His laws and His statutes. So if you're here, you need healing. Father, I pray for everyone on the sound of my voice that is in need of healing, those who are physically present, those who are watching, Lord. And I release your healing power. I say, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. Be thou made whole in Jesus' name. Just say, I receive my healing. And I speak against spirits of depression, of oppression, of fear, doubt. I cast you out. Destroy your works. Reason I bind you in Jesus' name. And just say, I receive my deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen.